Listening, Practice Test 8. I'm going to give you the instructions for this test. I'll introduce each part of the test and give you time to look at the questions. At the start of each piece, you'll hear this sound. You'll hear each piece twice. Now look at part 1. Part 1. You will hear 3 different extracts. For questions 1 to 6, choose the answer A, B, or C, which fits best according to what you hear. There are 2 questions for each extract. Extract 1.
One of the terms that's been cropping up in the news a lot lately is malware. Could you explain to us what that is exactly?
Well, malware is short for malicious software. The term can be used to describe such things as viruses, trojans, and worms. Basically, these are computer programs that infect a personal computer and cause damage. They can enter the computer via email, websites, or even attached USB hardware devices. Malware can lie undetected for months, stealing passwords, harvesting your data, and observing your use of the internet.
How do you know if your computer's been infected?
You'll probably only realize something is wrong if your computer becomes progressively slower, or if you find unidentifiable software that can't be removed. Even if you have installed an antivirus program, more sophisticated malware will go undetected. A rootkit is one of the worst types of malware. It infects the hard drive of a computer at root level, hence the name. It's impossible to remove one without completely erasing the drives. On a larger scale, malware can infiltrate industrial networks, causing havoc in infrastructure sites such as national grid substations and nuclear power plants.
Extract 2.
The issue of climate change has been a bone of contention for half the lifetime of many scientists and shows little sign of becoming less controversial. For this reason, the new book Global Warming, A Cool Look at a Hot Topic by Dr. Colin Drake is a welcome newcomer to the debate. Dr. Drake calmly presents a clear picture not only of the causes of the climate change phenomenon, but also of the contradictory theories and the reasoning behind them. He isn't shy about addressing the more contentious elements of the debate, which he attempts to present in a non-partisan way by adding to the list of possible arguments supporting both sides of the scientific divide. Without being dogmatic, he also lets the reader know which viewpoint he finds more persuasive, and accordingly more worrying. Yet he clearly wants to obtain results through reasoned persuasion and endeavors to avoid an aggressive approach. Nevertheless, this does not prevent him from pointing out quite forcibly the advantages of trying to keep the Earth's atmosphere, water and land as free of pollution as possible.
Extract 3.
Over the past 150 years or so, the authorship of Shakespeare's plays has been the subject of furious debate among academics and amateurs alike, with every freaky theory under the sun seemingly being proposed at one time or another. And while anything is possible, it is somewhat absurd that according to some of the strangest schools of thought, it seems the only person who couldn't possibly have written the plays was the man born in Stratford-upon-Avon, William Shakespeare. Some have suggested that the plays were produced by a committee. Some have given the credit to the Earl of Oxford, some to Francis Bacon, and some to the brilliant young playwright, Christopher Marlowe. This last seems an unlikely choice, since he was murdered during a brawl in Deptford, before many of the plays were written. A new theory, however, seeks to get around this seemingly insuperable problem by suggesting that he faked his death, fled to Italy, and continued to send his plays back to his agent in London. It won't come as much of a surprise that this particular hypothesis has so far failed to attract much of a following.